You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me in this adventure into geekdom is TFG1 Mike.
Hello.
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 So, on this episode, we're going to be talking about a couple of different topics, one of which being what we're streaming right now and why we're enjoying it. As well as some various rumors and confirmations in the TV and film universe of a variety of franchises.
We also have the Phillips family road trip to Mount Rushmore.
Yes, we did do that.
It was a 5-hour trip.
I have the episode title for you.
No.
Yeah, no, I do. It's good. You're going to like it.
Better
the Mount Rushmore. Yeah, pretty much. You'd buy that for a dollar. The Mount Rushmore of entertainment news.
Yeah, that could be. That's not bad. That's not bad. You've come up with worse, so.
Trust me, I can always do worse. I know this. Thank you very much.
So, yeah, as Mike has alluded to, we did go to Mount Rushmore. We spent last Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday in Mount Rushmore, and then Monday came back to civilization. I did have bandwidth, I did have internet there, but I wasn't on it consistently. So, but I got a lot of pictures, got a lot of photos of the monument. We did get to see the airplanes flying overhead. We did see the fireworks from behind Mount Rushmore.
Sweet.
Because our campground was, technically from our campground, it was a 2-mile drive to Mount Rushmore, but it was more or less just making a giant C to get there. And a lot of people were parking downtown, and we were going to get ice cream for everybody else. I can't eat it unless we go to like somewhere that's like dairy free because I can't digest dairy anymore. And so, I didn't get ice cream. I just got candy, but, so that was fine with me anyway. The kids were atrociously covered in ice cream after it melted from 90 degree weather. But we were going to park around the corner where there was free parking, and I didn't really want to risk it, you know, to go watch downtown. Plus, with and I'm not getting political here, but with the protests of the president physically being in Mount Rushmore, which was not the idea that we were planning for. I didn't really feel comfortable with having us in the downtown area with what people have been known to do during those protests. And so rather than put my family in jeopardy of physical harm, or possibility thereof, because a majority of people were, hardcore Trumpers, I'm not on either side, but I'm just putting that out there anyway. So anyways, I didn't really want to deal with it either way. And so rather than that, I was going to park on this one way back to our campground. And then, of course, I didn't. And so Mary was not very happy with me because she's like, fireworks, because they're probably going to be good because, you know, he's going to show off. And so luckily, about 20 minutes into being at the campground, somebody's like, because Mary and the boys went to go watch the airplanes flying over, the jets and the Blue Angels. And I was following up. And again, like I said, she was not happy with me for missing out on the opportunity to see it downtown. And this person comes with a camera with another friend. And they're like, hey, they're like, are you going to watch the fireworks? And they're like, and she says, well, we were going to, but he botched the parking job. And so the lady's like, well, she says, you'll be able to see the fireworks from here. All you got to do, it's a 5-minute walk up the hill, and it goes above the tree line because that's where the cabins are. And so they invited us to go up there with them and watch the fireworks.
Oh, sweet.
And so we were able to see them from behind Mount Rushmore. Granted, I had to zoom in my camera a little bit because, you know, they looked about the size of my computer monitor from, you know, from that distance. But yeah, I mean, it came out well. I got to see it, and everything was well. And yeah, so.
So let me ask you, as I know, we've said off air, this is the first time you have been to Mount Rushmore.
Correct.
What was it like looking at it, being there? What was it? What was the feel of being in the moment of actually seeing Mount Rushmore?
I honestly thought it would be bigger.
I think that's what everybody says, honestly.
Well, like, because I got up there and I'm like, okay, this is really big, and I know that the nose is like 20 feet long, you know. So I mean, I guess when you get closer, but they had most of it locked off when we went. Because mm-hmm. they were roping it off for the fireworks and for the president being there
right.
the next day. And so, and they had it closed the whole next day. So they had a lot of the trails locked off because they were preparing it. And so, honestly, I thought it was going to be bigger. And, I mean, the funniest thing was, is the whole thing with social distancing. Yeah, people were wearing masks, about 50% of them, and then the other 50% not. But we were all in such close quarters because the paths were all blocked off, which they do this at any of the parks or the beaches too. And it makes mm-hmm. no sense. Like, the more you close off, the more clustered together people will be.
Exactly.
So if you're worried about social distancing, why are you closing off areas where people would naturally spread out on their own? Or like creating these crazy, you know, ways to get into lines, to get into stores. It honestly, you're not going to have the issue with people purposely trying to be right next to somebody else. Majority yeah. of the population does not want to be next to somebody.
I don't want to be near anybody besides my wife. I don't want to be near anybody physically at all.
Well, and that's kind of how I am unless I'm at work or something. Like, I don't care.
Well, yeah.
If I see a cramped aisle at the store, I physically don't go down it. I'll go down the next mm-hmm. aisle or somewhere else. Until I can get down the aisle, because I don't like being cramped around a large amount of people.
Right. And that's the other thing, and this is going to be a tangent here, folks. That's the other thing with now the social distancing, the physical distancing. Our local Walmart here in Vancouver, Washington, at least the one we go to for the most part, has now, because no one was really looking at the floor of the store, they now have red and green signs on which way you're supposed to go down the aisles. So it's arrows, but they actually have signs on the aisle so people will see them. And it's like, oh, if there are too many people in the aisle that I need to go down the right way, I need to go down two more aisles to go down another one the right way to come back the other up the other end. The other, you know, and it's like
I honestly,
that's why it takes shopping so much longer now because of.
Well, the funny thing is with that is I don't pay attention to that because I think it's asinine. I don't think that it's yeah, I get what they're trying to go for, and I get that they're trying to prevent people from just clustering down the aisle. Mm-hmm. But the problem is half the time you've got people stocking the aisles, and you can't get yep. down there anyway because they've got both sides yep. locked. And because you can't go down the opposite direction, you can't physically get down the aisle to get what you need, even if it's close to the end within like 4 feet. And because Mary had that happen the other day, she was at the grocery store and or at Walmart or somewhere. And they were like, you got to go all the way around. And she's like, it's right here. It's in arm's reach. You got to go around. So like she, you know, was like, okay. So she like walked around, but it was just, it's so stupid to be honest. And
The only time that I have gone the wrong way is if nobody's behind me or in front of me, or if nobody's in the aisle, and like you just said, it's right there on the end of the aisle, and you don't have to go down too far. But I have actively called out people saying, there's arrows on here, especially like if I see three different people in carts coming down the aisle, and I physically cannot walk a store anymore. I haven't been able to walk a grocery store since 2012. I just physically can't do it because not only my weight, but also the fact that I have mobility issues. So I use a motorized cart. I'm disabled. I've been disabled my whole life. I'd still be disabled if I was 120 pounds or 220 pounds or whatever instead of the 400 pounds that I am. So the disability isn't going to go away regardless of my weight. So, you know, but there are times where it's like I'm trying to follow the store's orders and it's like other people just like, come on. That's why I say I don't like being near people.
But yeah, I mean, that aside, overall, it was a good trip. We got to be out in nature, got to see a lot of animals. So it was just a lot of fun. So getting into the episode, of what we've been streaming, I've been having fun watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. again.
Really?
Yeah, which is funny because I dropped it 3 seasons ago. And then recently, like within the last 2 months, I probably blitzed through the rest of what I was waiting on, and now I'm stuck to the week to week. This season is actually pretty blasted solid. The Ghost Rider season that they had like 2 or 3 seasons ago was okay. And spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, Coulson dies at the end of that season because he takes on the role of Ghost Rider to take out this life model decoy that's gone AWOL and is trying to kill his team. And so he takes on Ghost Rider to incinerate it. And it burns up the rest of the Kree blood, which causes his original wounds from Loki to start resurfacing. So he starts dying because of it. And so he goes to like a tropical place, and then Quake and Melinda May meet him there. But because they had this whole space adventure the season before, the season after or something, some alien took on his persona, like his body. It was using basically his meat suit, as it were, to torment the crew and or to torment the S.H.I.E.L.D. members. And he's destroyed by the end. But this season, they introduced Coulson as a life model decoy, like what I originally thought they were going to do in season one. And so he's got like super strength and everything else, but he's got all of Coulson's memories. But he's basically the Chronicom, which is like the baddies of this season. But it's time jumping, so they get to go into Agent Carter's timeline. And all the way through to current day. And so various members of the team end up splintered between different points in time, and they reveal that somebody from Agent Carter's time was supposed to die, and they staged it with Coulson being the life model decoy in place and pretend dying, because he's a robot, in place of this S.H.I.E.L.D. agent that was the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. at the time in the 30s or 40s or whatever it was. And they bring him, he's basically following the S.H.I.E.L.D. crew all the way to modern day now. So he'll actually be more or less the director, is how they're setting it up. And Coulson, I won't say what happened to his life model decoy, but there's something that happens. And Melinda May's like, you know, because like Coulson makes this line when he's taking out the bad guys, he's like, "You don't know my superpower," and they're like, "And that is," and he's like, "I don't stay dead," because every time you think he's out, he's not. So, but yeah, I've been having a lot of fun with this season. It's a lot more fun, I think, because of the time travel and because they're mixing in like Agent Carter, and it feels more connected. And Coulson's kind of like the fun aspect of it, even though he's a robot. Yeah, I've been really enjoying that show since it's, even though it's on its final season, which kind of makes me sad now because it's actually good. But I get that what they're doing with it because they have Disney Plus now, and that's kind of where everything's going to get kind of rebooted or reused if they actually take things on. So yeah, I mean, that's one of the main ones I've been watching. I've been also just kind of like Mask of the Phantasm, 1989, Batman. A few things of Star Trek, but I haven't really been watching that even lately. I've been kind of watching other things. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I've been paying attention to recently.
Very cool. Very cool. For me, this is actually in preparation for whenever we get to our We Love Video Games, We Love Part 2 over inside Studio 2009. I have been watching long plays of the 4 main Metal Gear games, Metal Gear Solid games. So from the original PlayStation 1 game all the way through PlayStation 3's Metal Gear Solid 4, Guns of the Patriots. So I've been doing that. And I remember playing Metal Gear Solid back in 1998, 1999, so I really did enjoy that and the second game. I was never a fan of the third game because the third game was a prequel. Now that I'm watching Guns of the Patriots, which is the fourth game, I see why, and it makes sense that the third game is the prequel, so they can tie it all into this the fourth game that they did. As far as actual shows and movies and things like that, I'm actually going to be watching probably after we record this or sometime before we record the next one. Live Free or Die Hard is now on Hulu. Oh, so wow. I may watch that. Yeah, that just got added, I guess, or at least it just now showed up for me.
That's the fourth one, right?
Yep. Yep. That's the techno one. It's the one I like besides the original three.
Yeah.
Or the original one and three.
Yeah.
TV shows, I'm still watching true crime stuff. Watching Numbers. I don't know why. I blame a friend of mine on Facebook, but I found out that Hulu has all 9 seasons of the reality show Married at First Sight. I only ever watched the first season. I only ever paid attention to that first season, so who knows? What else am I watching? Let's see. Over on Netflix, I just finished my, seventh or eighth watch through of Person of Interest. And it's surprising with that show, like, how much that kind of hits home today with technology and everything else. For Things We Love, which apparently it just got added, or again, it just showed up for me on Netflix. Spaceballs is now on Netflix, so I'll be watching that at some point so I can laugh my ass off.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody interested in game shows? Supermarket Sweep is on Netflix.
Have you ever watched this other show called The Floor is Lava? It's completely stupid.
It's on Hulu, right? Yeah.
No, I think it's on Netflix. It's a Netflix original.
Oh, that's right. It is on Netflix. I'm sorry. Heaven forbid.
It's so stupid.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to play it out like, oh, they're actually going to die in lava. And then
it's not lava.
It's not lava. It's water with bath soap, you know, like,
yep,
like dish soap bubbles and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And special lighting. But the sad thing about it is it would be interesting, but it's entirely too stupid. And it kind of reminds me of like Legends of the Hidden Temple mixed with like some almost like a Double Dare mixed with Guts. But done very poorly.
So it's basically just looking at the description from reading, and I'll read the description in a moment. What I get from reading this description is that it's basically musical chairs with lava and curtains and you're basically Indiana Jones, essentially.
You're Indiana Jones in it, but it's not there's no it's not musical chairs. You are timed.
Yeah.
You have to get as many of your people over within a certain time period in order to win. But ultimately, it's not something that I would care to watch any more of. I watched the first episode and I got the gist of it, and I'm like, okay, I'm good. I don't need to see any more of this mess.
I mean, I can get the gist of it just by this description. Again, this is directly from the Netflix app. And this is why I said musical chairs. Teams compete to navigate rooms flooded with lava by leaping from chairs, hanging from curtains, and swinging from chandeliers. Yes, really. No, thank you. That's great if other people enjoy it. That's their thing. That I will find something else that I enjoy.
Yeah. So I know that it's not a lot of stuff, but there is a lot of old stuff from the 90s coming onto streaming too. They have didn't even know this thing existed. They have a Daphne and Velma movie.
Really?
On Hulu. And it's live action. They have two people playing
Wow.
And that's it. There's none of the rest of the Scooby Gang. I guess they thought it would be good or something, but there's also a bunch of different things going around on the internet. I know last episode we talked about Michael Keaton possibly mm-hmm. returning as Batman. There is a what people are calling an Easter egg found in Michael Keaton's and Batman Returns. This is where Keaton's Batman and Pfeiffer's Catwoman are having a final dance at Max Schreck's party before Danny DeVito's Penguin crashes in the final act. It says, two of the other dancers in the background are clearly wearing their own superhero garb, which includes a male dancer wearing a helmet, clearly referencing Jay Garrick's version of The Flash. And I looked at this, and it's actually there. There's a look over his shoulder, and there's a man wearing the Jay Garrick helmet.
Oh, wow.
Over Keaton's Bruce Wayne shoulder. And I mean, it's got part of a face mask over it, but he's clearly wearing the helmet. So I'll probably screenshot it and throw it on the episode. But yeah, I thought it was kind of interesting that popped up of all things, as kind of a funny Easter egg that people were just now taking notice of, now that the possibility of Keaton coming back, is in the air. And then there was something else because of you know, Flashpoint of redoing the Justice League movie with, you know, new versions of the actors and or characters and everything. Somebody was trying to say that they would bring Ryan Reynolds as Green Lantern. They'd have all these other, you know, they'd have Batgirl be in place of Terry McGinnis in the Batman Beyond movie and all these other little rumors that were floating about. And I was reading it again in an article. I wish I could find it right now. But it's by that Umberto Gonzalez or whatever, that he's got the... he writes for The Wrap now. But he used to own his own... more or less his own movie website, I should say.
Right, right.
So anyways, he was talking about some of the things that people were reading too much into, of, oh, we're going to have this new, you know, Justice League movie where all these other characters and all these other actors are coming back, and they're like, this is all just like speculation on people's behalf. None of it's true.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. And that's why, I mean, while I think we had a really great discussion with our good buddy DJ Valentine last time around, that's why I wanted to make sure everybody understood everything we were talking about last time was pure speculation, because, like I said before, until Michael Keaton, Warner Brothers, or whomever actually comes out and says, like, if Warner Brothers sent me a press release, like, 20 minutes ago or tomorrow or whenever, saying, yes, it is confirmed Michael Keaton is going to be blah, 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 blah. Here's a little teaser video with him saying, oh, and by the way, I'm Batman. You know, I mean, you know, until that happens, I don't believe any of these rumors or.
Yeah, it just, so it's funny because, and then there's the other ones of, you know, oh, Keaton's Batman will be the Nick Fury of the universe for the DCU reboot. And again, it's another one of those things that's not confirmed either. I just thought that it was kind of interesting to bring up the Flash Jay Garrick helmet.
Yeah, that's cool.
That was played in that clip of Batman Returns. So yeah, that's one of the things that's been kind of floating around. The other thing is, and this is another one of those rumor mill things, is that when Kathleen Kennedy is out after her contract's up in 2021 for Star Wars, there's insinuation that possibly Jon Favreau could lead the new Lucasfilm, which honestly would be a good thing, because everything he touches, like Iron Man, The Mandalorian, stuff like that, it seems to do really well. So yeah, that's one of those other one of those other ones that they're rumoring things, and part of that rumor was that they're going to retcon and remove canon from the last three Star Wars movies because people still aren't over that. Instead of just, you know, creating something, they're saying that Disney's going to do a massive reset.
So here's the thing, okay? Don't get us wrong, folks. We absolutely love talking about our favorite intellectual properties. We absolutely love reviewing things from Transformers, Star Wars, Star Trek, Marvel, DC, whatever. There are certain things that have happened, let's just say, in the comic book industry over the last 90 some odd years. There are certain arcs, there are certain stories that just didn't work. Does that mean, at least until, 2011, that DC is going to, you know, erase everything? Like, erasing things does not help the future. Going back and, you know why the 80s is the most rebooted and redone decade? Because the 80s got it right. The 80s figured out what was popular, at least at that time, and cashed in on it. You look at any of the movies that we love from the 80s, even some of the bad ones that most everybody hates. Good ones, Ferris Bueller, Beverly Hills Cop 1 and 2, because those actually came out in the 80s. 94 was 94. You know, Transformers the movie, say what you will about He-Man and She-Ra's Secret of the Sword. G.I. Joe the movie, say what you will about that, because of whatever. You know, all this stuff that we loved came from the 80s, and now, because no one can come up with an original flucking idea, and I said flucking as in ducking, no one can come up with an original flucking idea. They have to constantly go back to the well and make things worse. Like, I saw somebody said something or somebody posted something about something getting a the latest thing I saw as of today, as of this recording, the Wonder Years is supposed to be getting a new reboot thing.
We'll get into that in a minute.
Okay. My point is, and I know I said this, I'm kind of contradicting myself because I said this in another episode of recently about how on certain Kickstarter things, I can't get into them because they're, even though they are original content, it's not things that really appeal to me. And I get that I'm being hypocritical with that. And sorry, not sorry, people are hypocritical all the time. There's, you know what? We're all humans. Our opinions all change at various things. That's why top 10 lists are never the same. But it's one of those things where stop going back to the 80s. Stop trying to recapture what already happened and make something new. Create something that, you know, you take National Treasure, for example, those two films. The third film, if it ever happens, great. But you take those two films. That was a movie and a sequel that absolutely captured me because it was about American history and how to either make it for good or evil. Because you have, you know, in the first film, you have Ian and all his guys trying to steal the treasure, and you have Ben and all his guys trying to, you know, save it and make sure it's preserved and make sure whatever. That was a good franchise, even though I'm sure there are things in that movie that have been done before. It wasn't, oh, let's have Nicolas Cage as the new Indiana Jones. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like,
it's a new franchise, yes, that, with the same similar style.
Right, but it was something new and different. And Indiana Jones, even though that trilogy focuses on, because I'm sorry, I only recognize it as a trilogy, focuses on treasure hunting, and it's more world artifacts than just specific history of the United States. And that's where National Treasure kind of filled a shoe, where it's like, oh, let's focus on, you know, this, at least in the first film. And by the second film, they went to Cibola and all that and everything else. But yes, I don't know how to keep doing the original idea thing, because we always end up going back to what works for us or what we like. So, you know, I mean, how many times has all things Transformers died and been resurrected?
Many.
But you know what I mean? I'm saying, like, oh, we love this. Let's bring it back. But it's something we love. Whereas in Hollywood, they don't have an original bone in their body, apparently.
Yeah. So, kind of jumping back on the original bone issue. Sorry. They're trying to say there's another rumor floating around that Ben Affleck is returning as Batman only on HBO Max, which, again, that was shot down by the same Umberto guy. Yep. Now, granted, Cosmic Book News and some of these other places, like, they're getting some of this info from, because they're saying that, oh, they created a multiverse, so they can have any Batman that they want, which is just seems like a BS cop-out answer. There's a podcast or a video show on YouTube called Lightcast, which is Cultured Nerd, and again, it's another one of those sites I've never heard of. And they're saying that Ben Affleck signed that. They're saying that, you know, the Flash movie is creating a DC multiverse with different Batman. And that's why they're bringing in Keaton and then still having the Pattinson and then having Affleck. And then there was another rumor that was shot down that's saying, and again, this was like a week after the other one. They said, oh, and now Ben Affleck's not Batman. Ryan Reynolds is not Green Lantern, and they're not going to, you know, have a new Justice League and not, you know, get Keanu Reeves for a new Constantine and, you know, Batgirl to be in the Batman Beyond movie. Yeah, because I found the article now. Yeah, that Umberto Gonzalez said that, you know, they're cool rumors, but none of them are real. He said that there is a Zatanna movie being in development. But there's not been a director or anything attached, so there's, again, it's a nothing burger.
Yep.
So, and then there was, like, a rumor of J.J. Abrams rebooting DC through a Rebirth movie, and then he's like, not true.
No.
You know, there's no, none of this is true, and so it's, he didn't shoot down Henry Cavill returning. He says nothing yet.
Yeah. But, and see, that's the thing, like, the internet age we are now in, the internet age we've been in for the last 5 or 6 years or so, People will look at something like Cosmic Book News or We Got This Covered or whatever, and they'll see the headline, and sometimes they might click past it, sometimes they might not.
90% of the time they don't.
Right. But my point is, you have these websites out there that are making money off of false rumors and speculation that may never come to pass. Mm-hmm. And that's not fucking cool. This is exactly why Altered Geek and the Geekcast Radio Network, half the time when we post stuff for like press release or something, we're like, when I post stuff, like, I don't just sit there and write up something. IDW is going down the toilet, or IDW is launching a new Gem comic. Unless IDW, who I absolutely love, everybody at IDW, from Chris Rial all the way down to John Barber, to all the artists and all the writers, everybody who's there currently, everybody who's been there the last 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, absolutely love them all. I love the company. They do great stuff with the comics that they do, and they are primarily a licensed property comic book company between Turtles and Transformers and G.I. Joe and all the stuff that they do. But unless I get a press release saying, hey, this is being released by us, I'm not going to sit there and waste my time, copy and paste, or write up an article with potentially false leading things and then have it on our website and then have people come to us like we're doing with this. Like you're reading part of the article where this guy is saying, yeah, that's not true. That's like, I'm not going to do that. Why would I waste my time? Hashtag not sellouts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, you know, there's also more. It's funny because they keep referring to these YouTube channels. Like the We Got This Covered, the Midnight's Edge, you know, the Whatever the Geek, Cosmic Book News. And they're always like not reliable sources.
Yeah.
Because it's, again, it's a rumor. It's just, it would be like if I said, well, I heard that Batman is coming back and he's going to be on the DC Universe app and they're going to have Michael Keaton play him and then they're going to have, you know, I don't know. It's just, because, like, that's all that's basically happening right now is people are like, oh, there's, you know, there's even other talk of a Batman Beyond series coming to, or film, or mostly series.
Whatever.
On HBO Max with Keaton and something else. And, you know, there was another YouTuber, like, that Grace Randolph said that, oh, they don't have a, you know, according to her, you know, but where's the source? They don't have a direct adaptation of Batman Beyond story, but there are ideas to use for to use Batgirl and have Barbara Gordon instead of Terry McGinnis, which doesn't line up with the timeline anyway. It's laughable in the first place. All these weird like YouTube channels, like because nothing is actually in production. Literally,
that's
nothing
the
is in production.
Yeah,
everyone is like, "Hey, I hear that you know this might be happening," and it's laughable because nobody has any information because nothing's green lit.
Exactly.
And that Flash movie, for instance, has been in production hell for 4 years because they can't seem to keep a director because it's got studio interference. Now, speaking of keeping an actor, the Batwoman TV series has cast its new series lead in, I'm going to butcher this name, Javicia Leslie.
Okay.
African-American playing the new Batwoman, which, okay, cool. So they're trying to break all these different molds anyway, with her being, you know, African-American, bisexual, LGBT or whatever. I know I just butchered that too, but anyways, they're having her play a character named Ryan Wilder, who's going to be the new Batgirl, basically replacing Kate Kane. Which honestly, I mean, good for them for the representation. I honestly had dropped Batwoman after Crisis.
I watched it
up through Crisis, and I did that with Supergirl too. And I figured, you know, because I was pretty much up on everything with Supergirl, Batwoman, Black Lightning, and Arrow. And when Arrow went down, when all of Crisis happened, I stopped watching all but Legends and The Flash, and even those are on shaky grounds for me at the moment.
Yeah, I think I've said before on this show, my biggest issue with Batwoman was that the Alice in Wonderland storyline should not have been the entire first season. It should have been like the first 5 or 6 episodes. Alice goes away, Batwoman fights other things, and then like have it come back at like the last 3 or 4 episodes of the first season. But sadly, no, it was the entire first season. This Miss Leslie actress is she was the co-main lead on God Friended Me from the CW. So that's where she's
the other show that got canceled.
Oh, God Friended Me got canceled? Really?
Yeah, pretty sure.
I thought that got picked up, but anyway.
It got canceled.
Man, this culture is just crazy, right?
Yeah. So anyways, yeah, I have no problem with her playing the part. It doesn't faze me whatsoever. It's not my demographic anyway. I don't really care. I'm not going to be watching it regardless of who they have as Batwoman. So, but you know, great for them for the representation and for, you know, doing what they're going to do with it. And, as far as other changes in television, you mentioned the Wonder Years reboot, which is going to be a black family instead of a white family, which it looks like Fred Savage, the star of the original series, will direct the pilot and executive produce.
Mm.
So it will have some ties with the original as far as production crew, and but it, I'm guessing that it will not have any of the original cast. As it's
probably
because it's going to be going in a totally different direction.
Mm-hmm.
I forget there was another series a few years back that they did this with.
Party of Five.
That they changed the cast to be... I don't think it was that. There was another one that was all white, and then they changed it all black, and then it got canceled shortly thereafter.
No, but Party of Five is one of the ones that did that, because obviously the original Party of Five was an entire... was an all-white family. And then the new Party of Five, they made it be all about... the kids are in America, their parents got deported, and this, that, and the other thing, and immigration, and whatever else. And I'm only saying that because that's what I remember. I'm not actually, which I probably should just look it up myself, but that's what I remember hearing about it.
Yeah.
And I don't think it lasted that long.
Yeah, I don't think it did either. And to be honest, it again, I never was a huge fan of the original Wonder Years. So it doesn't resonate with me anyway.
No.
But I find it interesting that that's one of the series that they chose to resurrect.
Yeah. So it's funny. Both God Friended Me and Party of Five got canceled. The news came out in April. Three days apart. April 14th and April 17th of this year. Party of Five reboot canceled at Freeform after one season. Party of Five, the Amy Lippman and Christopher Keiser reboot of their 1990s Fox family drama has been canceled by Freeform after one season. The series, which reimagined the original show's orphan Salinger children as the separated by deportation Acostas, aired its 90-minute season finale on March 4th. So, yeah, it didn't last at all. And that's the thing. A lot of shows don't last anymore.
No, because, they don't.
And you know what? The Wonder Years thing, again, to my knowledge, again, I'm not looking this up, but you look at the Bernie Mac show. You look at Black-ish, which is on ABC. Comedians, you know, Bernie Mac specifically, comedian, may the man rest in peace, had his own television show that was his own thing. Maybe it was based on partial of his real family or not. Same thing with Black-ish. Maybe it's, you know, based on one of the producers or creator or whoever. Maybe it's based on their family kind of thing or whatever. That's original content. That isn't taking the name of the Wonder Years and putting some other family into it.
Hmm.
I don't know, man. It just it's crazy. This is why I kind of stick to cartoons and comics.
So yeah, there's also so you could say we got this canceled.
You need to go online right now and buy that website for a dollar.
What, we got this canceled?
.com. That's right. Seeing as how you have, you know, extreme prediction powers.
sometimes it doesn't play out as well as I'd like.
Can't win them all.
No, it's not Pokemon.
So I don't know where you're trying to go with this, but I'm just going to go ahead and take the reins for a second. Normally, at least over the last, since we've been out here in Washington, I haven't really splurged on anything because you can't really afford to at this point. However, when I find a good deal, as long as I can get the deal, I'll jump on it. So I went to... local area Target over, actually over the bridge in Portland, Oregon. And I saw the Target exclusive Funko Pop Caddyshack Gopher Pop. Now, this is a Target exclusive. It comes with a Bushwood Country Club hat, and the pop inside is a flocked version of the gopher that they did. On the I'm looking at the displays and I see the box and I'm like, oh, okay, I see the price. And then this is up above, you know, the rest of the shelves. I see the price and I'm like, oh, $5.99? Heck yeah. This thing is normally $25. So I grab it. I actually took a picture of it where the price tag was. I didn't move anything. I didn't change anything. I took a picture. I grabbed it. As soon as I grabbed it, I looked down. I see where all the other ones are supposed to be and the price tag of the $25. So I go over to the guy and I'm like, hey, you know, if you walk over here with me and I show you this, I found this marked as $5.99. Now, I know technically it's in the wrong spot, and I know technically it's going to be $25 because that's the price. But let's face it, there were like seven of them there. These things are not flying off the shelves. He goes, oh, yeah, no, it's in the wrong spot. I'll give it to you for $6. Okay. So there's that. I go into another store. It's actually our grocery store, which has an electronics department in it, but it's in another part of the store anyway. Basically, Kroger. It's Fred Meyer, because Kroger owns all the Fred Meyers now. So I go over there, and I see the Elastigirl on Elasticycle Funko Pop from The Incredibles 2. This one is also normally a $25 item. It was marked down 70% off. They had like 10 of these things. I got it for $7.37. So basically for $15, I basically got two Funko Pops that are MSRP'd at 25, basically two pops for $50 I got for 15 almost. So yay deals.
That's funny.
Hey, I wasn't actually sure the gopher thing was going to work, but the guy was super cool. So absolutely love that Target over at Cascades in Portland.
You want to hear something that's not funny?
Uh-oh.
Well, they're talking about Tron 3.
Again?
Yeah, well, it was trending yesterday, I believe. Mm-hmm. And it's somebody says, yeah, there's, and again, it's another one of those another one of those stupid rumors. It says, breaking, Disney confirms that Tron 3 is officially in development, which I've yet to see a press release on this anywhere. It says that it has a script and is in development, says a Disney executive, which I'm seeing it at a couple of different places now, like The Escapist has it, which is a little bit more reputable than some random dude on Twitter.
Okay, so right now
they're all referencing the same guy on Twitter though. And it's again they said it's more of a sequel than a reboot. They're saying that the legacy cast could return and could be a rejuvenated of the canceled Tron Ascension, which saw the Grid invade the real world. And feature a rumored character named Ares or something. There was some interview with a Disney exec, Mitchell Leib, at Light the Fuse Pod. And they're saying that likely it's going to have Jared Leto, which is the main thing that I've seen everybody complaining about.
Yeah. Until something actually happens, until Disney on social media says, hey, Tron 3 is coming to Disney Plus or whatever, or until the stars actually come out and say, yeah, we just finished Tron 3 or whatever, I'm not going to believe it. I wish they hadn't have dropped the Tron 3 Ascension thing. I hope they go back to that story because I don't think Tron needs a reboot. Tron didn't necessarily need a sequel. Ladies and gentlemen, next week you can go over to Studio 2009 and check out Episode 7. Not every movie needs a sequel. However, because it did have a sequel, it actually made me go, and I've told this story before, made me go back and watch the first film. I have the two Tron movies on my Vudu account now. But when Legacy was coming out back in 2011, I was like, ooh, I need to see this. Wait, no, I need to see the first film first, because I was 2 years old when the first movie came out, so I never hit my radar at the time. So I remember the first time I saw Tron, it was in like a 10-part YouTube playlist. Like, oh, God. But absolutely love Tron. I know people have issues with Tron Legacy, but I enjoy it. I think it's super cool. And I was very excited to see where they were going to take the story. Does it need more than a third movie kind of thing? No, probably not. But who knows? As long as they don't wait 20 or 40 years to do it, sure, why not?
Well, I thought that they could have used one, to be honest. And I really enjoyed the second one, but if they don't have anybody from the second one in the third one, I'm going to feel kind of...
Yeah, that might feel a little... Yeah.
So, yeah, that's about the only thing that's going to have me kind of on the whole thing. But, yeah, I mean, that's the main thing I got going. As far as like the rumors and all the talk, I would be happy for a Tron 3. But
I loved when they put out the Tron the next day thing. It was on the Blu-ray, I think, and it's on, you can find it on YouTube. But it's basically we finally see Ram in the real world, and we see Bruce Boxleitner as obviously Alan / Tron. Talking with him and what I thought that was really cool. And I thought that their whole thing of potentially having Cillian Murphy's character of Edward Dillinger Jr., like continuing that kind of rivalry thing, I thought that was going to be super cool. But whatever happens is going to happen. Whatever doesn't happen won't happen, kind of thing is how I look at it right now.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I know that, this is...
What's that?
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, so that kind of about rounds out everything. Like, there's not really a whole lot else to go on at the moment. So that's pretty much all I wanted to bring up this episode. So what I would pose to the listeners are, is there anything that stood out to you? Is there anything that matters to you that you're looking forward to? Whether it's some of the rumors or things that you hope come true out of those rumors or some of the new shows or some of the reboots or some of the streaming. Like, what has been some of your streaming adventures this last couple weeks?
Absolutely. Now, see, as much as I believe you enjoy these, I don't know how well you like the sequels, but you like the Mighty Ducks, right?
Yes.
Okay. Did you enjoy are you okay with the two sequels that it had?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't remember them enough, but I was fine with it.
D2 was where they were Team USA, and they ended up being the Team USA Ducks. D3 is where... Bombay comes back and they all have to go to this hoity. Anyway, point is, The Mighty Ducks, the first film, is currently on Disney Plus. Anybody can watch it. Our good buddy Optobotomus, aka Paul, on YouTube, loves The Mighty Ducks. And I said, ooh, yeah, I can't wait until later this year when D2 and D3 hit Disney Plus as well. He goes, yeah, it would have been great if they hit it all one time. I said, hey, in the world we live in now, at least I have something to look forward to. So this is the cool thing about the Disney Plus streaming service that I actually love.
D2, The Mighty Ducks, coming soon to Disney Plus. Due to existing agreements, this title will be available October 30th, 2020. Add to your watch list now. That's great. They actually let us know, because of whatever existing contracts or whatever, that it's not there yet, but it will be later this year. Same thing with D3. They're both coming October 30th of this year to Disney Plus. And yeah, I'm really stoked for that, because I would love to have a marathon watching those three movies.
So, is there anything that you'd like to pimp out before we go?
I'm a retired podcaster. What would I have to pimp out? Please go check out Studio 2009. We are a new show. We have, probably by the time this comes out, we'll have 6 episodes online. Episode 7 is all about how not every movie needs a sequel. Episode 8 will be all about the video games we love, part 1. The Pull Bag, we've got a couple episodes coming up of that as well, so check that out, and just check out all of our stuff at Geekcast Radio. We have 11 years worth of content, folks. Most of it's broken, but we have 11 years worth of content.
That we do. So until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.